could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees where I learned to stand, and I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding.
Catchy beat there to it, though I don't know how she does the timing on that like she does, but I like that. Amen. So really enjoyed the song service. And I appreciate everybody coming out on such a cold, miserable day. Not really miserable, it's beautiful outside, but anyway, just appreciate everybody being here. Just pray for those that are traveling. Also, I didn't mention it a while ago, but both are traveling also, so let's remember them. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. When you're there, you can say amen. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God, by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whatsoever or whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth out of the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? And they after they heard this saying, and he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 26. Verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I want to title this today, From the Heart. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. We thank you for this moment. We give it to you, Lord. It is your word, and we pray, God, that you would break the bread of life this morning. Do what only you can do. It does not lie within the ability of man to speak your word into the hearts of your children. So we ask, Lord, that you be merciful to us in this world today where there's so many loud voices, so many sounds trying to drown out what you would say. We ask, God, that above all that, you would speak to our hearts now. We ask it in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you, getting older, you get to where you have to have glasses to see just about anything, and then sometimes it's almost a burdensome sometimes to try and use them. I don't know. I guess you get used to that after a while. So I've, for several weeks, this thought on speaking about from the heart has been on my heart, and mine keeps coming back to that, and I go in a different direction, the Lord keeps bringing back to it. So we just want to speak on a few things today. I don't think I'll be saying anything that you probably haven't already known or heard, but I pray that today the Lord would put it together in a way that would help you. And so, you know, I think Brother Graham talked about the different things like love and so forth that are, they are, you can't touch them. Right, you can't just reach out and, like somebody said, "Well, I don't believe it if I can't see it." Well, you can't see love, or you can't see, but you can see the manifestation of it. And so, we know that we are to love from the heart. We are to believe from our heart. We are to forgive from our hearts. Right? Scripture tells us that all those things should come from our hearts. And so, what comes from a heart is what matters. we read the scriptures there where it talks about what comes out of a man's heart is what will defile him. Because what a man is down inside, that's who he is. Regardless of anything else, what he is inside, that's exactly what will come out, and that's exactly what he will manifest eventually. And so he talked about, because what comes out of a man's heart, the abundance of his heart, comes adulteries and all different things. But I'll also tell you that what comes out of your heart as a believer also will bless you. And so that's why we want to talk about that this morning. And so the scripture tells us that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our might. We are to love the Lord with all our heart. I wonder what it would be like if you just, you know, just to kind of draw a picture, what it would be like if you only loved him with part of your heart. I don't think that would be very sufficient. I know for me, I hope and pray that my wife loves me with all her heart, right? And that doesn't mean she can't love the Lord with all her heart too, right? You understand? But I just wonder, you know, how we would feel if we somehow knew that our loved ones only loved us partially. And I'm sure that would not be satisfying. And I don't believe it would be to the Lord either. But we are to love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul, strength, might. And Jesus tells us in St. John chapter 14, verse 15, very familiar scripture, that he says that if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, you know, you read that and it sounds like and that is something he's telling us, a commandment from him. But I believe that if a person really loves the Lord with all their heart, they will keep his commandments.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean just the Ten Commandments, but that means the entire word, the entire gospel.
Right.
If we love the Lord with all our hearts, then we are going to try and live in a way that would be pleasing to him. And so we know also from the scriptures that as the end time approaches, if you see scripture 20, verse Matthew 24:12, as the end time approaches, the scripture says that because iniquity will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so it just goes to show you that the way society has developed, I mean, the scriptures, Jesus prophesying this, foretelling it, that the way society is going to go and move in the directions of throughout time as we get closer to the end time, that iniquity is simply going to abound in the lives of people. And when iniquity abounds in the lives of people, then their love waxes cold. And I say it affects all kinds of love. You know, there's agape love and there's filial love. There's different loves, the loves you have for your children or for your parents. And when iniquity abounds in the life of a person, all of those things begin to be wax cold. They begin to not be what they should be. And so you can easily look out in the world today and you can see that people do not, they have a perverted love because they love things more than people or things more than God, and they love sensations more than that which is right and so forth. And all of that is simply because iniquity has moved further and further. And you remember in the scriptures, you know, that there was a waiting period time because the iniquity of the Amorites had not been fulfilled. And so we kind of look out there today and we think, you know, it looks to me like the iniquity of the Amorites is full. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God that he's willing to be long-suffering, because when I look out there, I would say, let's just call this thing to a finish. Let's just end it now. That's what I'd say, because I can't imagine it going any further. But I thank God that he's the one in control, and I don't have the say on that. And I know that if I just get myself in sync with him, I'll see through his eyes, and I'll be calling for mercy too. And that's what I do. I say, Lord, just, you know, while we're here and as these things are going on, help us, Lord, just to reach someone, to talk to someone, to help someone, to live for somebody, right, make a difference in somebody's life while we're here. Because when we're done, we're done.
Right.
Right? When we're over with here, when you hear Brother Tony's gone on, you just know my journey here is finished. And that's be the same way with you.
Yeah.
Amen. I said this morning, somebody asked me, I forget what they asked me, and I said, I just want a body that doesn't have pains in it, right? And the response was, it's coming. And it is. It is coming. I always laugh when I think about Dale Potter, when he said he woke up one day and he set his foot over the side of the bed and he said, I didn't have a pain one in my body. And he thought, man, is the rapture come? And he said he reached up there to feel to see if he had his hair back, and he realized, well, he was still here because he was still bald, you know. And so one of these days you'll wake up and there won't be no pains. Maybe it won't be right as we wake up. Maybe it'll be that sweet that comes over our bodies. Amen. But it's a promise of God.
Right.
And we know that. And so, but as the end time approaches, the love, iniquity abounds. And so because of that, the love of many shall wax cold. And we know that when love waxes cold, then it affects faith, because faith which worketh by love. And so when a person has iniquity in their lives and it abounds in their lives, it messes with their faith. It messes with their walk. And I think we all as Christians know this. If you walk with God for a while and you realize, you know, when you slack off somewhere, that it affects your fellowship. So there's our main function right there, is to maintain fellowship with God. Because if we really love him, we're going to want to please him. We're going to want to walk with him. We're not going to want to be going around doing things that's offensive to the Lord.
Right.
We know that. And so if we really love him from our heart, and I say from the heart, because you can have an intellectual faith or an intellectual something or other. There is a superficial, like the prophet said, you know, Satan's got an imitation for all those things, right? He's got an imitation for everything. And so everything that he can within his power. And so we realize from all this that we need to guard our hearts. We need to be careful what we allow to come into our hearts to influence us. Since society has went the way it is, and we find ourselves in this hour in such a terrible, really a terrible time when it comes to the way the world has went, then we need to be careful what we allow into our hearts and what we allow to influence us. And we need to work to fend off and fight off the cultural influences that's contrary to the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with cultural influences if they're not ungodly. You know, when they are contrary to the Word, and when they wear away and eat away at our experience with God and our love for God and our love for one another and our love, the correct kind of love that we should have, we need to be able to be fighting against those things. And so when something comes from your heart, it means something to you. It affects you. It's something that really grips you. We understand that. And so it alters your life. When you have something that comes from your heart, it affects you. And so I could ask those of you that have been married, when you fell in love with your spouse, did it affect your life? Of course it did. It altered your whole entire being, changed.
Right.
You couldn't get away from it. Right? Remember, brother, I'm talking about the guy. He came and said, "Should I marry?" He said, "Well, if you can live without her, you better. But if you can't live without her, then you better go ahead and marry her." Well, that's pretty simple. But there's a tremendous truth to that. Because when it comes from your heart, you can't stop it. Right? No, I don't think anybody, and if you did, it was just a political decision, and you might see that in the Bible, there were political marriages that were arranged, and I'm sure there's political arrangements nowadays, but I don't think a person ever stopped and looked at someone and says, "You know what, I think I'm just going to fall in love with that person." It doesn't work that way. It comes from another realm. Right? You can't help it. It comes from, and so when it comes from that supernatural realm, you can't see it, but it's there, and it moves you, it affects you, and it causes you to act accordingly, because it comes from your heart, and that works either good or bad, because what's in your heart, there's something laying there that's evil, that from that can come adulteries and can come false witnesses and all things that Jesus said. Well, then those things are going to come. You can't stop it. Right? But if it's Christ that's there, if it's a love for him, then you can't stop that either. And that's the struggle. That's the fight. That's the white dog, the black dog that we have, that we are fight with every day. If you're not having a struggle, something's wrong. Right? I've said many times, brother BJ Ryan. I don't know what his name was. We just called him BJ. I don't know if it's Brian James. I don't know what it was. We just called him BJ. But he always say that when he preached. Almost every time I think he ever preached, he'd say that. If the devil's not fighting you, then you're on his side.
Right.
You know? And so and that's the truth. Because life is a struggle. It's a struggle for a baby when they come out and that first breath they have to take. And it starts there, and it's a struggle to overcome. And if you don't overcome, then you die. You're and so our life, that's what it is. Our lives are struggling. When you get older and there's pain in your body, now you can't just go like you want to, and you gotta slow down, and hey, it catches up, and you know, it's a struggle. We're just so happy to know that through Calvary, that when this life is done and our struggle here on this earth is done, it's all paid for. Yeah. Amen? So let us run well here. Let us run our race here and do what we can for the kingdom of God here, and knowing that he will call us someday.
Right.
Amen. So it affects us when it comes from our heart. And so It changes what comes from your heart and you act out. It changes your status. Right? It changes who you are. It changes your outcome. It changes where you're headed. It changes what your reward is. So, if you love someone, we're talking about loving the Lord with all your heart, loving one another, loving your children, loving your family, loving your fellow neighbor. If you love someone, then you'll act accordingly. As I said a while ago, if you love your spouse, you're not going to be going around doing things to try and aggravate them. And you're not even going to be going around doing things that will aggravate him, even though you're like, I'm not trying to. If you love someone, you are going to take notice to what it is that they like and what they don't like. Brother Tim, you better not be chewing ice around Sister Catherine. You know what I'm saying? Don't do it. That's just to come to my mind right now. But when you love someone, you don't want to offend them. You don't want to do things that aggravates them and keeps them all tied in knots all the time. That's not the way it works. Right. If you love someone, you're going to want to please them. And Jesus knows that. Said, if you love me, you keep my commandments, right? If you love me, you're going to do the things I say because you're not going to want to offend me if you love me.
Right.
That's what he's saying. If it comes from your heart. See, now, if it's not in your heart and you can try to act it out from a mental status or from something else, it's not going to work. And this is what Jesus was talking about here. We'll mention in just a few moments. It has to come from your heart. It has to have some feeling in it. And if it really is, then you're going to act accordingly, not spend time offending. And so Jesus said that, we read the scripture there, he said, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So they can go through all this outward and expression that he says that, you know, they honor me with their lips, right? They draw nigh to me with their lips, and they honor me, right? With their words and so forth, they honor me, but their heart is not with me. Their heart is far from me. And Jesus said, they're hypocrites. Jesus said, because they were in that condition, that their heart was far, far from him, he said, in vain they are worshiping me. They're going through all these efforts and all these things that has the appearance with their words and all their actions saying they're honoring God, but he knows their heart's not with him. And he said, that's vain worship when you worship God the way they are. And he ties this to the fact that they were more interested in pushing and living and teaching others their own doctrines and their own ideas rather than his word.
Right.
That was the thing that he said. It's, you know, and every age has had this opportunity. We have it today, you know. Are we willing to stay with his word, or are we going to try and put our own ideas in there? And if we, no matter what, if we put our own ideas in there and it's not God's word, then it's a vain worship. Because God can only accept worship coming to him that he has established. Right? He can't. He can only fellowship with like kind. And so like I said last week, if what we believe is not that, well then it can't be. It can't be accepted. There is no other way than his provided way. So they can draw an eye and they can worship, but he said their worship is in vain. And so the way that we can know that the worship is in vain is when they begin to teach their own ideas. And this is denomination. This is what denominations do. It takes something that they feel is a better idea. They feel like, well, this is better, so we'll do this instead of what the word says. Isn't that what Satan did in Lucifer? He thought he could do things better. He thought he could make a better kingdom. Thought he would. You see what I'm saying? And it's the same thing. It's Lucifer has come down influencing the lives of people, causing them to have their own ideas and leave the word of God. And when they do that, God cannot accept it. So he says it's vain worship. It's vain. Jesus said that. Right? Amen. And so that's what denomination is. Now, throughout the ages, until this end time message, people did not understand that organized religion is death. The opening of the seal showed us this. That fourth seal, when he went forth, you know, you had the first horse rider, second, third, fourth, you know, white, red, black, pale. It wasn't until that fourth horse rider who was met with the eagle, flying eagle, it wasn't until then that a name was given to that guy. But it was the same guy that had rode all the other horses through the ages, but nobody knew that what it was death. But underneath this eagle anointing, it showed that, hey, this whole thing, and why is it death? Because it's anti-word. That's why. And so the whole entire revelation was to come and to reveal this to us so we can see that other spirit in the framework of the church and can withstand it so we can be that people that he says would be an invincible army. And so when the scriptures talk about there, you know, that the harlot church, that as the prophet said, they were the first ones to organize. Now, what are we saying? They were the first ones to let man dictate what's going on rather than stand with the Holy Spirit. That's what made them, right? Because they claim to be the bride of Christ, but they commit fornication with the kings of the earth politics. See? That's what made them, because they're supposed to be to Christ and alone, to the Word and the Word alone. So because they weren't, they went some other direction that made them an ill-famed church. And so the scripture tells us that, well, she had daughters. And in the church ages, he says, hey, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. Right? I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. Back there, it called her that woman Jezebel, right? She repented not, and he said, therefore, I will kill her children with death. And those that commit fornication with her, I will cast into tribulation. It's a tribulation period coming upon the world of all the kings of the earth that have committed fornication with this, but I will kill her children with death. So the Catholic Church has children. Church and their daughters. I will kill her, because it said in Revelation 17, daughters. Right? So she has daughters, they're churches. These churches that are a spinoff from the Catholic Church, he will kill them with death. That's what the scripture says. So when you look at this, you're like, when I had the privilege to come to know my dad, and everybody said, there's no question about it. You look, you know, we no question, he was my dad, right? And the reason why is because I have genetics in me. My last name may be Roberts, but I'm a Dandridge. That's just all there is to it. That's the first time I've said that publicly, but that's the truth. I am a Dandridge. And so, because I have genetics in me that came from my father, that matched my father, and because of that, I look like him, and because of that, we like to plant the same kinds of things in our garden, and there was all kinds of stuff. It was amazing to find out, and what I'm trying to get at is what made me his son was because there's a genetic tie between him and me. So something passed down, something passed from him to me to make me like him. So the Catholic Church has daughters, right? Catholic Church has daughters, and they're daughters because there's something about something that lay in that Catholic Church that passed on to those daughters. Those daughters, every one were born virgin, but at some point, they became harlots. They became, called her a whore, called them harlots. Same thing.
Right.
Right? And this is why the prophet explained to it. They did the same thing the Catholic Church did. They organized and let man's organization be the leadership over the church. But you have to understand, they look like mama. They act like mama. And the reason why they do is because there's a gene that passed from the Catholic Church that lays in them churches. And now, how do you know that? We're now coming, now today, we've come to the understanding of genetics. So the scientific proof is there, what God was saying all along,
right. That
there's genes that pass to these churches. How do you know it if you don't know the genetic things about it? But you can look at it and say, they look like mama, they're acting like mama, they're doing things that mama believes and does, and so they're daughters.
Right.
So it's simple, it's real simple. So this is why the message had to come and reveal these things and point and say, look, that's death. I'll kill her children with death. That's why organized religion is what it is. Organized religion. So these churches, you know, I live out the things I live out because there's gene in me. I'm talking about physically, my expressions. And so it's an expression of my genetics. Right? And so that's the way it is spiritually. There's spiritual genetics that causes these churches to believe things the Catholic Church believed, or to believe things that's not Bible. And they take man's system and wrap around those things and push that. And now that becomes the doctrines and commandments of men that's more important than the commandments of the Word of God. So it's vain worship. Real simple. Very simple. Vain worship. So it's a tremendous thing, you know, that God has revealed to us in this end time. And so, you know, like I said, the prophet said, you know what, the Catholics have it right when they do communion like they do, as often as they do. Right? There's nothing contrary to the word for that. So there might be things the Catholic Church believes, or there might be something that Protestant churches believe, and as long as it's not anti-word, it's okay. Right? Everybody? It's okay. But when it's anti-word, That means you've got to draw the line there. All right? And so that's what makes them daughters, because they're believing and acting out something that's anti-word. And the scripture, he said, come out of her. Come out of her, my people. And that's what the message is doing, is call us out of that, to show us what organized religion is, because death is in it. And it's been revealed that it's death. Amen. And so the point here is that what's inside you is going to come out expressing. People are going to believe, they're going to push a Trinity doctrine because they believe it. And they're going to believe it because they got a genetic in them that passed from that mama down into there and makes it that way.
Right.
And that's the point. So you will express what you are, you will express what you believe. Well, you will express what's in your heart. So, now, it's not, this may seem like I'm turning a corner a little bit here, but I'm not, and then maybe I am. It's not the works that Christ is looking for. It's not the works that he's looking for. It is what causes the works. That's what he's looking for. Because you can have man's systems, and you can come up with all kinds of ways to act out the same things physically, the works, do good deeds and have great programs. You can do all those things in the name of religion or whatever. But if it's not coming from the correct thing in the heart, then it's no good. See? So he's not looking for the works, he's looking for the thing that causes it. He's not looking for emotions, but he's looking for the thing that would cause the emotion. I don't want my wife to come to the door when I come home and meet me from an intellectual standpoint and say, hi, honey, I'm glad you're home. I don't want it to be like, I want it to be because there's something in her heart that longs or wants to do that because she loves me. And this is the way it is with God. God wants us. He wants our worship. He wants those things, but not just the outward. He does not want the outward if he doesn't have the inward.
Right.
He wants you to have an experience, knowing that if you have the experience, it's going to live, come out, and be a life expression that you express in life. So he's not looking for those things. He doesn't want lukewarm. He wants a heartfelt love for him. Amen? He wants a life coming from you that he can fellowship with. Cannot be different than him. He wants it. And it's not a problem, because you know what? The bride come from him. Right? Come from his side. The typology of how she was born. So we can see what is in our heart. We can see what's in our heart by what we bear, the fruit we bear. The scripture said you'll know them by their fruits. And it does say that, but I'll say you'll know what's in your heart by the fruit you bear too, which you already know what's in your heart, hopefully. Of course, and we also know the heart is desperately wicked. You can't trust your heart yourself, but when Christ is in there, it's a different story. And so you want to believe from the heart. You want to love from the heart, right? You want to forgive from the heart, because it's the only place it's genuine, coming from there. Because people can act out. You can say, oh, I forgive him, but you really don't forgive someone. And God knows it, and you know it. You know it, see? You know when you don't really believe. You know when you really don't love someone. And you know, but you can act out, oh, we really love you, brother. We really love your sister. And you know you don't. See, we got to, it's a heart thing. We got to come back to that place where we search our hearts to see and know that Christ is there. Right? Because he truly forgives. You know, true forgiveness does not require anything in return. If you say, I'll forgive you if you stop doing this and this, or you never do, then that's not true forgiveness. True forgiveness forgives, doesn't hold grudge, doesn't try to remember it. That's what the Lord did. So you see, he has to come into the throne of the heart, and then in the throne of the heart, you can truly love, truly forgive, have faith. All those things can be real when he's the one that's on the throne of your heart. When you really, he occupies that place that you love with, that's how it'll be genuine. Amen. So we want to love and forgive and all these things with passion, right? You look up the definition of passion, and first thing it says, well, it was the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ, and it was. And that's right. But why did he do that? Why did he die? Why did he suffer and die? Because he loved us. That's why he did it. It also says that passion is a strong, almost uncontrollable emotion. I differ with them. The kind of love, the passion I'm talking about, is not controllable. You have to do it. You can't stop. You got it. You just have to serve God. You just have to do something for your wife or your husband. You just have to do these things because there's something inside there. And you do it with a passion. It's not like I don't know what the word is. As the scripture comes to mind, serving you masters and so forth, not with eye service as men pleasers, but from the heart. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you can always, you know, say and do whatever. But if that feeling's not there, it won't come out right. If it's not really in there from the heart, it's not going to be expressed right. And so that's why I titled that this morning, From the Heart. It's actually the attributes of Christ living from the heart is what it is. Amen. A place where something down in there and you just absolutely must express it. You can't stop it. Why is it like that way? Because God made us that way. God made it so that you will produce fruit from what lays within there, and you can't stop it. That's why it's that way. God wants us to be real. He wants us to be genuine. He doesn't want us to be fake. I was listening to Brother Brown talking about, you know, he had that situation with his hair because the barber put stuff in his hair and on his head and destroyed all the hair follicles or whatever, and he was talking about that, and he said he got a hair piece and he said, I didn't really want to wear it because I didn't want to be fake. So he thought for a while he'd wear a toboggan, you know, and sometimes he'd wear that, but he felt he didn't really like wearing it because it was, he felt like it was fake. And, you know, if anybody's got anything that's not real, you know it's fake. It's not the same, right? So when Jesus said you can't add one cubit to your stature, you can make yourself taller. You might put high heel shoes on, but you can't make yourself taller.
Right.
And because you try to, then there are negative consequences that come from that. Right?
Right.
You know, and so, I mean, I don't want to be fake. My wife has said to me several times, I think, maybe about, you know, that stuff you can put in your hair or make it not gray or whatever. And she's looking at me like she don't remember that, but there's been discussions around my house several times. You just, you know, mentions about it, and I'm like, I don't want to be that. I just want to be what God made me to be. And so I think a real Christian wants to be that. They just want to be genuine. We don't want to be a fake.
Right.
And so if I know I don't love somebody like I should, then I need to talk to the Lord. I need to, you know, because I know what His Word is saying here, that if I truly love the Lord, I'm gonna work to please Him and keep His commandments, and that means I gotta love you, and I gotta live for you. And regardless of how hard it gets, we had to live for one of them. Because listen, if we, you know, you could say, I love the Lord and I'm serving the Lord, and you don't ever do anything that touches anybody else's lives, how are you loving the Lord? You serve God when you serve His people, right? You live for others, because that's what the whole gospel is all about. He came and lived for others, died for others. We are to live and die for others. And I don't know any other way to live for God if we don't do that.
Right.
But that's what we're to do. But this world is so tuned on Laodicea, rights of the people. I'm going to live it my way, do it my way. I'll have it my way. That was the song of the century or whatever they say. You know, I'll do it my way. It's not, we don't want it our way. We want it His way. Right? We want it His way. And so, our love for Him, which is the Word, and our love for each other, needs to come from the heart. It needs to be real. It needs to be genuine. And if it's really there, it compels us to do something for the Lord. It compels us to do something for His people. If it's real, it's there. You wanna do things for others. And when we don't, then it's an indicator. Because what's in the heart is actually what's coming out. And so we're all on this journey. And we're all at different levels, we're pressing toward that mark. I forget the exact quote, but you know, but the more in the presence of the supernatural that we get, you know, the greater those things begin to manifest through our lives. And that's, so we press toward that mark of what we want to be. We may not be what we used to be, but we're pressing on to something, what God says we can be, because His Word says it. See? I believe that I can be in a right standing position because God said I can, if I come His provided way, and so can you, right? You can be there because He said so. That's how we show our love to Him, as the quote the other day I read. That's how we show our love to Him, by conducting ourselves the way a Christian should in the midst of the trials that He lets come our way. That's how we show our love for Him. And most of the time, that's how we express to others. Amen. So, if we don't, there's an indicator that there's a heart problem. Now, in the natural, when you have a heart problem, Can you run a 100-yard dash like you used to? Can you climb a mountain like you used to? When you have heart problems in the natural, you can't do many times what you need to do. And it's the same spiritual. When your heart's not right, you're very limited, depending on how bad that is. Yeah. Right? When your heart's not right. And so, makes it harder to, when you have a heart problem, it makes it harder. You might climb a ladder or whatever, it's harder to do. But when you have a heart problem, it's harder for you to apologize. It's harder for you to forgive. Harder for you to repent. You see what I mean? Because it takes a healthy heart to do those things. To do it right. Amen. You know, I've said this before. You've heard it probably all your life. Anything that's worth living for is worth dying for. And we live, as parents and grandparents, we live for the next generation. We give our lives for our children and for our grandchildren. We give ourselves for them. Why are we doing that? Because we love them. Because we love them and we want them to be healthy, happy, successful futures. Right? We don't want them going through pain and sorrow and suffering. And that's why parents who've been down a rocky road have all kinds of advice they could give, because they don't want them making mistakes. That maybe we know is going to be a mistake. So we live and give ourselves for the next generation so that they could go on and maybe they would have the opportunity to live and they could tell the next generation after them. It's a perpetual thing that God established. That's why we do that, because we want them to have a good future. We live for them. We die for them. In greater love, nobody can have, except they give their life for those they love, for their friends, right? No greater thing that you can do. The greatest thing you can do is to live your life for others, even if that means you're burning away every ounce of energy you got for them. That's the best thing you can do, to live for others. Because when you do that, you're looking Calvary right in the face. Live in Christ to the world. So if we can do that for our natural, for our children, we can do that for their natural future. What about their eternal future? We want to live in such a way, give our lives for them so that from that they can benefit moving down that path of a supernatural walk with God. And so, what good is it if you don't live from the heart? If it's not real, if it ain't genuine, what good is it? That's what you find out in the world. That's what you find out in corporate world and all business. It's all business, you know. Can't hardly have a heart-to-heart discussion with your manager, because it's all gotta be all business, all work. We're not made that way. The kingdom of heaven's not made that way. Jesus, I believe you could just sit down and talk with him. He'd make room for it, you know. And I plan to. I plan to talk to him. And he'll have time for us. He'll have time for you to do that. Amen. But you can do that now.
Right.
That's right. You can do that now. It's not any good if it doesn't have some feeling in it. Brother Bram tells a story about Paul Rader. Paul Rader was the one that wrote the song, Only Believe. Paul was telling Brother Branham one day, he said, one morning I was sitting at the kitchen table eating breakfast with my wife, and she wanted something, money or something, wanted to do something other, and he said, I wouldn't let her do it. She got mad at me, and she was upset, and was crying about it, and he said, usually, you know, every day when I get ready to go out the door, you know, she'd stand at the door, and I'd kiss her, and I'd go out and walk down to the end of the gate, and I'd turn around and wave at her, and she'd wave back, and I'd go to work. And he said, so she was sniffling, and you know how they are. He said, you know, he got ready to go. She's standing at the door. He kissed her. He goes out. He gets to the end of the gate. He waves at her. She waves. He goes down the road. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to him. He said, you did wrong. You did wrong. Because it wasn't right. He said, what if something happened to her today and I never got to see her again? What if something happened to me and she never got to see me again? And he said he went back to the house and ran in and opened the door, and he's trying to find her, and she's behind the door sniffling, still crying. Said he never said a word to her. He just grabbed her in his arms and kissed her, went out to the end of the gate, waved at her, and she waved. And Brother Ram said, what was the difference? He said, well, because at that time there was a feeling in it. Says, you can go through all the motions, but if that feeling ain't there, then it ain't right. Right? It's got to be from the heart.
Right.
We want to serve God. We want to serve each other. Yeah. But we can't do this superficially.
Right.
We got to do it right. Because I can sense whether you love me or not, and you can sense whether I love you or not.
Yeah.
Right? See what I mean? We want to serve God. We live in a different world now. And I'm talking about out there. We live in a nation who's in deep trouble. Our borders have been opened. Millions have come in. They have no idea how many tens of thousands of terrorists. They're here. They know they're here. I don't know if you hear this in the news or not. They know we got it coming. In the world, you know, the scripture talking about the world, their hearts failing from fear. That's not for us. That's not what I'm saying that for. I'm just telling you, we're in the last days. We're in the last time. And when you go out the door, ask the Lord to keep you. And when you go out the door, you make sure you go out with the right attitude toward your wife, or to your husband, whatever it is, to your children. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because we live in a time where things are changing. And they're changing rapidly. It could be a totally different country by this time tomorrow or the next day or the next day. And
right.
We know that. Just because we aren't engaged to know it doesn't mean it can't happen. And I'm telling you, this nation has had it coming for a long time, and we know it is. That God doesn't have a bone to pick with, as we would say, with his believers. Right? So we just want to make sure that what we have is from the heart and not something superficial. That we believe from the heart. That we forgive from the heart. Because we said there, what Jesus said, if you do not forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. I often said this. I believe that when people get there at judgment, nobody's going to come there and stand before God and start trying to argue with him and tell him, you know what, you're wrong. I did this and I did that. And the reason why I didn't was because of this. But ain't nobody going to do that. You'll walk up there and you'll look in his face and say, you're right. I was wrong. Right? We're going to know. See, we're going to know. And so we know whether or not we love him or not. We know what we love, whether we love each other or not. And so when that time comes, we'll know. See? And we are the stewards of our own walk with the Lord. And so we want to our walk and our life. We want to love from our hearts. We want to forgive one another from our hearts so that there's no problem there. Amen. We want to repent from our hearts and not just do it in some sort of actions that try to make it look like we are. Amen. But I will say this, in times like this, and especially in this nation, but in times like this in the world, it's a time like this when the bride of Christ can really shine.
Right.
Amen. The darker it is, the brighter you can shine. I'm expecting the Lord to do great things between now and body change time, and not just among us who are already believers. I'm expecting when things go south, and people you work with and family who've been playing around and didn't, you know, that they're going to turn and they're going to ask, and we're going to be able to help them in that hour. You know, the prophet said the third pull was for the bride and the church, but to the totally lost. That's what he said. This third pull is for the bride, obviously, give her a rapture, but it's also for the church, for the foolish virgin, for those who need it. God wants to help them too. And then, of course, those that are lost, they're lost. But this third pool is for more than just giving you and I a body change. More than just, there's more to it than that. And so that's what we believe. And we know that. Why? Because God has said so. And so we trust it to be the truth. Amen. We want to believe from our heart, love from our heart, forgive from our heart. Amen. If you do that and it's Christ on your throne of your heart, it'll be real. It'll be genuine. Amen. Let's let the musicians come as we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this little opportunity to be here with your people. We're asking, Lord, that you take these words, seal it away in their hearts. I pray, God, something was said that would help them in their journeys. We love you. We know, Lord, we live in such a tremendous time, but we'll always have you. Lord, you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, I believe that no matter what happens, it's always something better down the road that you have for us. And we just want to commit ourselves to you in that way, Lord. In this country we're at now, knowing that so many things are going on, we just trust you. You are our hope and our stay. You are the one that we trust and believe in. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. We'll just worship just for a minute. If anybody would like to have prayer, we certainly would love to pray with you.